Forks, welcome to Iggy Ichabod's Weird Cinema, and this is my movie mortuary, live from Grand Forks Best Source. Tonight we're going to be doing 1986 film, Poltergeist 2, The Other Side. Hopefully, he lives in his holy temple. You'll understand that when I'm done talking about the movie. But first, we have to make a shout-out to our friends at River Cinema 15 and the Shire Bar and Grill. Make the River Cinema 15 and the Shire Bar and Grill your next dinner and a movie destination in the River Mall in East Grand Forks. Either dine inside the movie memorabilia-packed restaurant, the Shire, or take your meal to the movie you're attending. Some of this week's featured attractions are Godzilla times Kong, Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, Arthur the King, Kung Fu Panda 4, and Dune Part 2. Find the complete showtimes online at rivercinema15.com. Don't forget about the Tuesday $5 movie special all day long and the $5.50 senior matinee special on Wednesdays and Thursdays. The River Cinema has luxury recliners and expanded concessions that now serve adult beverages and is family-owned and operated. This is always a good time, Wizard. I really love the Shire. They have great food.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
Is it still the Stroganoff, the Wizard's favorite?
Oh, no. He wants, since we're doing the movie Poltergeist today, he wants the Poultrygeist. Get the joke? Poultrygeist?
Womp, womp, womp.
Actually, not, you know, just to get off topic for a second here, there was a movie by Troma called Poultrygeist, and it was called Poultrygeist Dawn of the Dead Chicken, directed by Lloyd Kaufman. It's horrible. It's the worst movie ever. So
maybe a future Weird Cinema?
Maybe, if I can find a copy of it.
So Poltergeist 2 today.
Yes, Poltergeist 2. I should have really done Poltergeist 1 before, because there's a lot of flashbacks in this.
Any certain takeaways from Poltergeist 1 you want to lay out there before diving into...
Well, basically, this family lives on top of a cemetery, basically, and they don't know that the bodies are still under the ground. They just move the gravestones. Plus, as you find out in Poltergeist 2, there was a cult leader named Reverend Henry Kane, and Kane brought his followers... He was a part of a doomsday cult. And anyways, as it goes, the place where he brought his cult to commit suicide was basically under the Freelings' house. Freelings is the name of the family. And there all sorts of weird things start happening. And it's the movie where they say, "They're here." I've heard that quoted so many times. And in the second movie, she goes, "They're back." You know, and there's a scene where the father's face is like peeling away, and then it peels away to a skeleton. And I thought that was funny. There was a episode of Family Guy called Petergeist, where it makes fun of that scene. Peter's shaving, and all of a sudden his skin starts peeling off, and... And anyways, he all of a sudden it shows Hank Hill's head on Peter's body, and he goes, "Propane." But yeah, there's been a bunch of parodies of Poltergeist. One of the scariest moments for me in the original Poltergeist was the clown doll. And there's always that other quotable line from Poltergeist: "Going to the light, Kaylan." Tangina, great actor. Zelda Rubinstein, great actor. Before I start talking about Poltergeist 2, there was a lot of bad things that happened on the set of these movies, because apparently they actually used real skeletons in the original film. And some people, you know, some bad things would happen. I think the girl who played Carol Ann died during the filming, maybe either during the filming of the third movie or after the third movie. But basically, you get to see the guy who's behind all the hauntings in this. And that is Reverend Kane. So, besides Tangina, the medium, she's a medium or a psychic or whatever you want to call her, there was a shaman in this movie named Taylor, and he was played by Will Sampson. Great job. I really enjoyed him. He brings actually the father, Steve Freeling, who is played by Craig T. Nelson, to a sweat lodge so that he can learn to become a warrior so that he can fight off these demonic forces. So, another, I'm going to quote something else now too. Another poltergeist that you guys probably don't realize is Beetlejuice. Beetlejuice was a poltergeist.
He's like your favorite. What makes him a poltergeist?
They mention it in like the book. In like a book, they mention that Beetlejuice was a poltergeist.
And I'm trying to remember from, it's been a while since I saw the original movie, so I can't remember if they mentioned it in the film or not.
Probably not. They mentioned him as being a bioexorcist, but that's about it. If I remember right, it said he was a poltergeist in something that I was reading. Poltergeist 2, though, great special makeup effects, especially when the dad drinks the tequila worm and it like possesses him with Reverend Kane's spirit. And then his wife, he attacks his wife. And anyways, as it goes, he pukes up this like worm monster. Awesome, awesome special effects in that scene. There's a scene where Robbie, Carol Ann's brother, played by Oliver Robbins, is cleaning out his braces, and his braces start attacking him, and they try to electrocute him. So, I guess this Reverend Kane guy isn't too nice of a guy. You see him originally when Carol Ann is walking through the mall, and people are actually, when she sees him, people are actually walking through him. So she knows he's a ghost. Carol Ann, basically the character, was a medium too. And Tangina says that. And Grandma Jess, played by Geraldine Fitzgerald, was a medium. And then Carol Ann's mother, Jo Beth, or played by Jo Beth Williams, that Diane Freeling, was a medium too. So they come from a long line of mediums. For those of you who don't know what a medium is basically someone who can communicate with the spiritual realm.
And then they can like take possession of their spirits in their form, right?
I think so, yeah. You'd have to ask my mother on this. She watches those ghost adventures and stuff like that. I'm into that stuff, but I'm not really into that stuff.
I just know from a couple of video games I play that deal with spirit mediums, they'll talk to the medium to kind of conjure up the spirit of a lost one, and the spirit medium will then be, you know, kind of like asking permission to have her body possessed by the spirit of the past one, and they'll speak in their tone and voice.
Well, you know, that reminds me of, I know there's nothing like this in this movie, and it's, I think the only movie that talked about this was Child's Play. But the Lwas, it's L-W-A. L-L-W-A is how it's spelled. But it's in voodoo, where you want the Lwa to possess you so that you can have a spiritual experience, like an epiphany of sorts.
I've never seen this movie. I may have seen bits and pieces of the original, but I did watch the trailer and like a couple of brief clips of this just to kind of get a little ready for it. And the scene I saw that really kind of packed a punch is where the room gets haunted and the phone rings.
Spirits are flying everywhere.
And all building up to the girl saying, "They're back."
Well, you know, they later in the movie, or like near the final part of the movie, they actually have to go back to their old house, which with the dead people under it and the the suicide that took place.
Because this is all about them moving to a new neighborhood in hopes of, you know, being rid of those old spirits and hauntings, yeah. Right?
Yeah. And the third movie is about Carol Ann. I think she goes to Chicago and lives in a high-rise building. And they follow her there, too.
No way.
Yes. There were three Poltergeist movies. It's like they could have stopped after two because they exercised Reverend Kane.
How do you like the overall like setup, setting like kind of like the new home, new residence, just kind of like just going into this? Does it seem like a little too cookie cutter, or is it like, oh no, they kind of got a nice original setup? Were you pretty invested for the new plot?
I like this movie. I absolutely like this movie because when I told my some of my friends that I wanted to become a pastor, I'd go, "He lives in his holy temple," which is an old Baptist song, and that's the song that Reverend Kane sings when he's walking down the road or talking to Carol Ann. But Carol Ann knows there's nothing good about this guy, so.
Or a couple of the other, it's interesting hearing you talk about like the hauntings and the spirit mediums and how they come into play. Is there like a couple of other scenes you haven't had a chance to talk about yet that really stood out to you, that where that really prevailed?
I like when Taylor the Shaman, played by Will Sampson, he's like cleansing the car. And anyways, the dad takes the car out and the car breaks down basically when he's driving into the driveway, and he goes, "Well, the car isn't happy." And Taylor goes, "The car isn't happy." And he goes, "How is the car supposed to be happy?" Or something like that. And at the end, Taylor goes, the car will be happy if you send it home with me. So they did. But the other side was kind of weird. When they go over to the other side, and yeah, it's like all clouds and light and just what you expect from a near-death experience, or what people have said near-death experiences are like. And actually, Carol Ann ascends and gets lost in the other side, but her grandmother, who died earlier in the movie, brings her back. So, but
how about how it all builds up there towards the final act and how it all pays off there compared to the first film?
Well, you know, they win as a family, which is kind of a good thing. It, you know, Poltergeist is rated PG-13. I thought it might have been rated PG, but some of the scenes are kind of scary. Might be kind of scary for younger viewers.
I see this is 1986. This is only like a year or two into the PG-13 rating existing.
I think the first PG-13 movie was Gremlins.
Not to be all super correctional, I'm a little nerd when it comes to this kind of stats stuff, but I think Gremlins came out in the early 80s before there was a PG-13. It was like, I want to say Red Dawn was the very first PG-13 movie, because it was the whole Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom stirring a lot of controversy coming out as a PG, because it had a lot of dark moments in it, and there was a lot of parents saying, like, hey, this is too dark for a PG, but not dark enough for an R, and that's what kind of was a big catalyst for the PG-13 rating. I wrote a whole big paper on it a long time ago, so.
some of these PG-13 movies are pretty good, though.
Yeah. You have any, you thought this kind of straddled the line pretty good for PG-13?
Yeah. Well, you know, I believe horror movies should be rated R because, you know, they should be able to do what they need to do in them. I'm not a very big fan of PG-13 horror because it's just so limited.
No, that's an interesting point. Maybe just to play devil's advocate, I could see there being, you know, we're kind of in our mid to upper 30s, early 40s here, and so I could see definitely that perspective, you know, wanting all horror to be R. But if you kind of want that, like, gateway horror for the younger crowds who aren't 17 years old yet and can't get into R movies to kind of be their you know, for lack of a better phrase, gateway drug to experience the R-rated movies of their later years when they get old enough to see them. That's where I think the PG-13 rating is perfect for them for PG-13 horror.
Well, you know, it's like they said about Goosebump books. They said Goosebump books were training books for people to become fans of Stephen King.
Hey, exactly. And you still have a lot of reverence for those Goosebumps books, if I remember right, right?
Yes, I do. I love Goosebumps. So I collect Goosebumps.
And that's great young adult, teen kind of scary spookiness. So if there's audience for that in book form, I think, you know, for PG-13 form, I do think a lot of the PG-13 scary movies aren't the greatest, though. I think that's safe to say. I think there needs to be better versions of it, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, like, I just don't like when they, like, there was a horror movie that was rated R, and then when they remake it, they make it PG-13. Mm-hmm. I just don't like that. It was rated R for a reason.
I know you said you wanted to skip weird stats, so any other final... I got some other factoids to bring up a little bit later if you want, but any other final thoughts on Poltergeist 2?
It's a great movie. I like the character Henry Kane. I think he's a cool character. Oh, I forgot to mention who played Kane. Julian Beck. I think he did a good job. There was a lot of great acting in this movie. A lot of great acting.
Like a standout scene where the acting really stood out to you?
There's just so much. You know, and as I said, I've always liked Zelda Rubinstein, who played Tangina. It's kind of funny because she was actually in an episode of Tales from the Crypt. So, you know, I realize a lot of these, like, stars, like Zelda Rubinstein, but she's not really heard of. Or, like, Larry Drake or Martin Sheen. Martin Sheen's probably the most famous. We're all part of Tales from the Crypt back in the day. A lot of horror, like Billy Zane, I think, got his big thing on Tales from the Crypt. And he was actually, if you want to look it up in the archives of Ikki Ichabod, we did the movie Demon Knight, Tales from the Crypt Presents Demon Knight, and that has Billy Zane in it too.
So overall recommendation to Poltergeist 2?
Yes. Percentage of positive critics reviews was like 20% though. And percentage of Rotten Tomatoes user approval was 35%. And the budget was $19 million, and the box office was $75 million. I guess, you know, it can't be that bad if it made 50-some million more than the budget cost.
Yeah, for a horror movie, that's pretty good. You know, it almost quadrupled its budget. So the other thing I looked up here, Icky, I don't know if you ever plan on covering Poltergeist 3. Do you want to give any quick thoughts on that? I saw that hit in 1988.
I haven't seen it in years,
okay.
So I really have no and opinion.
This thing, I was just kind of doing a little, just pulling this up here. Did you know they did a Poltergeist reboot in 2015?
I do know that. And the whatchamacallit, the poster was that of the clown doll from the original Poltergeist.
Have you seen that one?
I saw it, but it's been years.
Yeah. I was just kind of looking on the synopsis here. Kind of same thing, focusing on a family struggling to make ends meet and relocating to a suburban home. Youngest daughter is kidnapped by spirits in the inhabited house. Yeah.
Well... And if you guys want to see something funny, watch the Family Guy episode called Petergeist.
Petergeist? Is it like a satire?
It's a satire of the original Poltergeist film.
Is that a more recent episode or a classic?
It's a classic episode. It came out like the third or fourth season.
I know you love Family Guy, but that's definitely, would you say, upper tier episodes?
Yes.
Cool. Anything else you want to get to before we go to executive properties?
No, we can go.
All right, here we go.
Are you still putting off that project around the house that's been bugging you forever? Do you think you can wait until spring and call a contractor and have the work done ASAP? Well, good luck with that. Executive Properties has openings right now to get that project done. In fact, you can check out their Google reviews. Diane says Executive Properties did a roof project and remodeled a bathroom in our house. We were happy with their quality of work, and the projects were completed in a timely manner. We will use Executive Properties for our next home project. Get that project done sooner than later. Call Executive Properties, 701-330-1273.
Welcome back. Well, you know, we had some good time in the movie Mortuary today, but we have to go for this week. We will be back in not next week, but the week after with more Weird Cinema. We're going to be doing Sin City.
Was it wrestling next week?
It's wrestling next week, but I meant the week after.
Okay, week after. So 2 weeks from now.
Yes.
Sin City.
And, well, you know, the wizard hasn't said anything today, so he's going to have to say his one line of the day.